This in Romans chapter number 5 this morning, Romans chapter number 5. As you're turning this morning, would like to remind you to be in prayer for Brother L and Sister Joyce Van Blarkum and their family. Sister Joyce's father passed away on Tuesday, and we announced that Wednesday night, and they're going to be having funeral services this Thursday. The viewing will be from 10 to 12, and then the funeral service will be 12 to 1. At Ford's in Newark, that's in Newark, and then they're going to be doing the interment at the Veterans Cemetery there in Bear. They got to be there at 2 o'clock, and then they'll be coming back to the church for a lunch. So I talked to Sister Pam, ladies, if y'all could get with her and find out what you can do, what's needed, and we get the hall set up Wednesday night after youth group and everything's out there. I think we're planning on maybe around 50 people at the most. So be much in prayer for Brother L and Sister Joyce and her family as they have lost a loved one. And be in prayer for Sister Joyce. Brother L's asked us to remember her. She's been struggling and suffering with a lot of issues. And just pray for her that through this God would just speak to her and comfort her heart, and pray for her mother. And then pray for Sister Jessie Weinberger, Sister Kathy's mom. She fell yesterday and broke her hip. She's in surgery right now up at Christiana. So just remember her in prayer, if you would, as well. And then let's just continue to remember Brother Curtis and Brother Joe Allen and Brother Harvey and Sister Vicki Davis, long-running issues and needs of prayer there. If you have found Romans chapter number 5, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we honor and reverence the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, there wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace, please? And you may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought of the song that we sang, "The Perfect," or "The Greatest Christmas Tree." You know, there's all kinds of things you can read and all kinds of histories about where the Christmas tree started and where the tradition of bringing the evergreen into the house come from, and this one will say it happened then, this one says it happens there, and you know, it's really irrelevant. Amen. We do it just as a means, and we do it just because we want to celebrate, and it was started a time just to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now I work with the fellow that says, "Well, we don't celebrate that, and we don't care about that, because nobody knows who said Jesus was born on December 20th. Nobody did. Nobody did. It's just a day that was set aside that we could worship. Some say, "Well, it coincides with the pagan rituals, and it coincides with this." So what? Amen? I want to acknowledge my Savior's birth. Amen? I want to acknowledge what God has done for us. Amen? God has blessed us tremendously. He's blessed us beyond our wildest measure by sending His Son into the world to die for us. Amen. I don't care about all the other stuff. I don't care about all the other reasons. The only thing I care about is Jesus loves me, this I know. And God so loved the world. Amen. Jesus was willing to come because His Father said go. He was willing to die because His Father said die. And that's what Christmas should mean to me and you. Amen. God's gift, His Son, and His salvation. Torn this morning between two messages. Preaching this one this morning, or preaching this one tonight. Preaching the other one this morning, or preaching the other one tonight. Amen. Tonight I'll be preaching on God's unspeakable gift. Amen. And when you stop and you think about what God has done for us, He has given us a great gift. He's given us great reason to celebrate. And one of the symbols of our celebration is our Christmas trees. And you know, I'm going to pick on my wife. I get accused of picking on her all the time, so I might as well just do it anyway. You know, she is constantly searching for that perfect Christmas tree. You know, some folks, they go out into the tree farm or they'll go out to the tree lot and they'll look through trees and they'll agonize over trees and they'll drive themselves crazy over trying to find the perfect tree. There are places where you can go and you can, early in the season, you can go and you can look before everyone else is there to find yourself the most perfect tree that you can find. And then you put a tag on it and you put your name on it. And that tree is reserved for you. It's set aside for you. But, you know, we don't do that. We are ecologists. Amen. We use the artificial trees. But she still strives and she still works to find the perfect tree. My sent me and my daughter one time to bring a Christmas tree home. And she made us take it back. She said it was the behemoth. It's too big. Take it back. Not going to work, so we had to take it back, and we had to go get a smaller tree, and we brought it back, and I could tell she was kind of disappointed. She said, it'll do, but it's just not right. And then we went through the pre-lit trees, and we went through this tree, and we went through that tree. And several years ago, we was up at Brother Jack and Sister Eileen's, and she looked over in the corner, and she said, look, did you see that tree? She said, that's a perfect tree. It's the right size. It's the right dimension. It's right everything that we need. And we told Sister Eileen how pretty it was, and she bragged on it a little bit. Every year, every time she's seen it, she just like, wow, that tree. And I heard her for years. She talked about Sister Eileen's tree. And back in the summer, Sister Eileen had a yard sale, and we went to the yard sale. And while we was there, we was looking at some things they had for sale, and there was this tree sitting in the garage. And she said, is the tree for sale? Sister Eileen said, no. And all the way down the road, she said, man, I was hoping that tree was for sale. I was hoping it was going to be ours. And just a few weeks ago, Sister Eileen called us up and says, hey, do you want that tree? And she's been so happy ever since, Sister Eileen. Amen. Because she finally found the perfect tree. Amen. It suits her. It satisfies her. It meets all the needs that she has. It sits there and she's got it decorated. She finally got around to decorating it this week. She wanted to make sure it was decorated before the carolers come and everything was in place. And ever since she's got it decorated, she says, isn't that a beautiful tree? I said, yeah. She'll ask me two or three times a night, isn't that a beautiful tree? I said, yeah. She says, isn't that just the right size, the perfect tree? It's perfect in every way. Its shape and its form. Now, see, she wanted a narrow, tall tree, one that was a little slimmer, and it was perfect, and it suits her just fine. Every night she asked me, Sister Eileen, hey, isn't that tree just beautiful? I said, yes, it is, honey. Yes, it is. You know, it's a tree. Amen. Let's get over it. Amen. All I'm looking is all that junk that's on that tree's got to come off, and I got to pack it. She got to pack that junk up, and I got to haul it back down to the basement. That's all I see. Amen. All I see when I look at it's work. Amen. And every men are sitting here going like this all over the place. Amen. But you know, she was looking for the perfect Christmas tree, and the perfect Christmas tree, even if it has some imperfections, Once you get it decorated, you know, we've had a few over the years that we had to doctor on some. Amen. You know, we used to get some live ones, and you had to cut a limb off here and drill a hole and poke it in there to make it look good. You know, bring Charlie Brown home, and Mama's not happy, and you got to do this and do that to make her happy. But looking for the Christmas tree. But, you know, once you decorate it and you get all the stuff on it, you kind of lose sight of the tree itself. Amen. And then when you get the gifts underneath of it, amen, the kids come in, they don't see the tree. You know, all they see what's under the tree. They see the gift. You know, there's a whole lot that goes into getting that tree to the place to where she wants it and to the place to where she's satisfied. And you know, when we stop and think about the holiday season, and we think about the tree. You know, they say the evergreen was chosen because it represented life in the midst of death. When all the other trees were dying, the evergreen was still green. When everything else had turned brown and the leaves had fell, the evergreen is still green. It exuded hope. It encouraged in the midst of bleakness. It was the perfect symbol to choose, to decorate, to represent what our Savior's done. So let's look for just a few moments at what all is entailed in that perfect Christmas tree. As I just explained with my wife, there's a lot of thought and a lot of things go into what is going to make the perfect tree. The tree has to be chosen. The tree has to be decided on. The tree has to be something that when you choose it, that you're satisfied with, and you're going to find makes perfect sense to you, whether it does to anyone else. It don't, to me, one tree's as good as the other. Amen? But it didn't make good sense to me. It had to make good sense to her. And when God was planning to send His Son into the world, He had a goal in mind. And He had made a choice of what the sacrifice would have to be that was going to hang on His tree. He made a decision on how His Son was going to die. He chose to send His Son into the world to hang upon that old rugged cross to die for our sins. And you know what? We stop and we think back, and the Bible tells us how that before creation, how before man was even formed, and this world was even spoken into existence, God had already made a decision. He had already chosen what He was going to do. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and the first Christmas tree had already been determined before the baby was born in the manger. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, signifying by what death He would die. You see, the tree had already been chosen. The way and the purpose and the reason for His birth had already been determined. Because when man fell in the garden, God already had a plan in place. When man stood in need, and when man sinned by the first tree, amen, he was reconciled by the second tree. When the first tree was forbidden, the second tree was needed. When the first man had sinned, the second man had lived perfect. And where the first man had brought death by trying to achieve life and knowledge and understanding, The second man brought life and knowledge and understanding by his death on an old rugged cross. And he already knew when he came and was born in this world what he was going to do. And where he was going to do it. And he was going to do it on that old rugged cross. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Over in Galatians. But Jesus said, they're going to hang me on that tree. God made a plan to send his son to hang him on that tree. And I believe with all my heart, when God the Father looked on God the Son and turned his back and broke fellowship there at Calvary, and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt the very curse of God as he hung on that old rugged cross. Because you see, the tree itself symbolizes something, but it's what's on the tree that beautifies it. It's what's on the tree that makes it special. I know a certain lady that has bells, and every year since her and her husband have been married, she has silver bells that are engraved with the year, with the date, and they're all over their Christmas tree, and that's what she thinks is beautiful. I know rich people, been to places like Biltmore, and you see the things that they do, and they have ornaments made of gold and gold plated and just precious jewels and crystals and all this stuff adorning their trees. I've seen the trees that people make where all their ornaments are just homemade. As a matter of fact, we have some on our tree that were her grandmother's that were made during the Depression, were made during the Second World War when you couldn't get things and pretty ornaments to hang on the tree. And they're all handmade, and they have a special place on our tree. She doesn't have a lot of fancy stuff, but what she has is our children and our grandchildren, and we got pictures of them every year. That's all she wants for Christmas is an ornament with the children's pictures on them. And when you look at our tree, you see our children, you see our family, you see our heritage, you see what we're leaving and what we're giving into the world and what's been given unto the world. When you look at Calvary's tree, you see the sinless Son of God that was hung upon it. It wasn't the riches of this world that adorned it, but it was God's only begotten Son. It wasn't the beauty that the world sees and the world looks for that made it important. It was the blood-stained body of the Savior who died for you and me. Let me tell you something. They try to pretty it up, and you see pictures of Jesus on the cross. That's not my Savior. That don't even represent the Savior that died for me. The Bible says his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man's. I don't believe anybody that knew him would have known that was Jesus of Nazareth hanging on the tree had they not put a sign over his head, had they not publicly announced it. Had they not followed some from the garden and through the trial and up the hill to Calvary as they hung him on that tree, I don't believe some would even have recognized him. He was marred so bad. His blood flowed so freely. I believe it pooled and puddled and began to run from the foot of the cross until it had spread around the entire world. The most beautiful ornament that was ever hung on a tree, praise God, was the precious Son of God. The Bible says he was the altogether lovely one. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's everything that you think that beauty should be. And he was hung there in a manner that you would not even recognize the beauty that had been placed there. But friends, when I look at Calvary, and by the mind's eye, when I see my Savior hanging there, when I see Him dying for me and dying for my sins, when I hear Him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and I hear those words, "It is finished," and I just ponder upon that, and I focus upon that, it reminds me just how great a gift God has given. How much He really loved me. How much He really cared. And oh, it's so beautiful. Sister Sherry sings that song. I almost asked her to sing it this morning. Beautiful. Beautiful. Not a more beautiful scene. Not a more beautiful image that a lost man can grasp and see than to see the Son of God hanging high, dying for his sin. There's not a more beautiful scene that the Christian can go back to and remember when the devil comes along and the devil tells you, you know, this really ain't real. You know, this really isn't true. You know, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. I know how you really are when ain't nobody else around. There's no more beautiful scene that the Christian can look back to and see Jesus hanging on the cross and dying for their sins and say it's finished. It's over. It's done. It's done. Oh, that cross that was hung there was adorned with the most beautiful ornament the world has ever known. Do you realize that everything in the glory world is just beyond comprehension? It's beyond our human comprehension. God says in 2 Corinthians 9:15 that it was an unspeakable gift. We can never imagine the beauty. We can never imagine the preciousness. We can never imagine the value of what was hung on Calvary until we come to the place of contrition where our hearts are broken because of our sin and we realize our need and God's great gift and God's great blessing to us. The greatest tree ever used for Christmas. Ever used to honor him was the old rugged cross. The greatest ornament that was ever hung upon the tree was God's only Son. Of all the ornaments that my wife has, those that she holds most precious are those that bear the image of her grandchildren, her children. That's what's important. When God looked upon that scene, and God seen what was accomplished, and God knew what had been completed, and God turned his back, and darkness filled the earth, and Jesus cried out that he had been forsaken, and he was left alone to suffer and to bear the sins of all humanity. The Bible says God rent the veil of the temple in twain. Because it was acceptable. The sacrifice had been received. And now there was no longer a separation between God and man. But then look at the gifts. Look at the gifts. We see the precious blood of Jesus as it wraps the gifts of God's grace for each of us. Look in verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gifts that God gives, He gives because He wants us to have them. He gives because He knows we need them. And He gives us unselfishly. Look at the gift of justification. Verse number one. Being justified by faith. Justified is a legal term. It just means no longer guilty. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Something that the world could never give me. Something that man could never give me. Something that only God could give me through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that over in Romans, down here in verse number 9, He says, now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen. We're not made right because we're good. We're not made right because of anything that we can do. We're made right because of what God did. Because God was willing to set a tree up and hang His Son upon it. Praise God. We have the gift of justification. Just as if I never sinned. And then look at what He says. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that because now we're just as if we had never sinned, there's no longer enmity between God and man. Amen? The curse that sin had brought in separating man from God has now been broken. And because of Jesus Christ and because of the blood that He shed on Calvary, we have access. We have a fellowship. We have peace with God. And we don't have to fear the wrath of God. Because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Man, when I think about the things that I've done, the times I've disobeyed God, it makes me shudder. When I think about being that way without Jesus, amen, being lost and undone, being just like Adam and Eve was, when they were separated from God, of being just like I used to be without Jesus. Whew, there is no peace. But praise God, we have peace. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we've been justified and now we have peace, we have that perfect peace. That peace that gives us hope and power. Peace in Colossians 1:20 that says, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through that tree and the one that was hung upon it, we have access. We have access. Now we're no longer separated. Now we can go to God, amen, and God can freely come to us, amen. I preached the other night about God still speaking and God still ministers to us. God still speaks to us. God still comes to us. He comforts us. There's nothing separating us now from the love of God because we've been justified by His cross. We have peace through His blood that was shed on the cross. And we have access. I'm glad I got access to the throne room when I need to get there. Amen. I'm glad I've got access through prayer when I need to get there. I'm glad I got access when I reach up and I just need to get a touch from on high. I just need reassurance. I just need to be comforted. I'm glad I have access. Amen. You ever remember as a child when you were scared something happened and you just wanted to get close to mom or dad? You had access. Amen. You climb my grandkids sometimes. I spoil them in my own way. Amen. But when they're scared or when something gets after them, they'll come and, I mean, a flying sometimes. They come a flying and they'll jump right up on my lap. And they're there. I don't know if they figure it's the big or the ugly. But something's going to keep them safe. Amen. And they know that when they want to get there, they can get there. They have access. I'm glad I have access. And I'm glad he's there. Over in Hebrews, it tells us that we have that access. Over in Ephesians, it tells us that we have access. Ephesians 2:18 says, through him we both have access in one spirit unto the Father. One spirit. Why? Because I've been justified. There's no more sin. Why? Because now there's peace. Amen. And I'm no longer separated. Amen. I'm part. I'm in. I'm in the family. We got one name. They just adopted Josh here last Thursday, wasn't it? They adopted him. And now he's in. He's a Haynes. Amen. He's a Haynes. For better or for worse, he's a Haynes. Amen. For good or bad, he's a Haynes. Irregardless in good times and bad times, he's a Haynes. Amen. Whether he is a fine, upstanding young man or as ordinary as can be, he's a Haynes. Amen. He's a Haynes. Amen. And it's all Mary's fault. Amen. But you understand, he's in the family now. He's not somebody else. He's a Haynes. Amen. And irregardless of what the need is, irregardless of what the character is, irregardless of how cute he is, how ornery he is, sometimes I just see Adam and Pam, they cringe and everybody else is just laughing. Amen. He's a Haynes. Amen. He's a Haynes. He has that access. He has that accessibility. But you know what? I've seen him when he hasn't seen Adam for a few days. When Adam took the kids up to the youth camp, he was just going for a couple of nights. Man, when he got out of the car and he seen Adam in the parking lot, he took off across the parking lot. And he wasn't hollering at him. He's hollering, Daddy. Amen. Amen. Touch my heart. And Adam just swooped him right up. You know why? He had access. You know why? Because all the legal matters had been taken care of. Amen. You know why? Because he's at peace. Amen. With Daddy. He's at peace with going home. What a gift God has given us. Amen. That we have access and we can enter boldly, as it says over in Hebrews. And then in verse 2, not only says that we have access, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God not only gives us this access and this peace and this change, this justification, but he gives us hope. Amen. He gives us hope. The green Christmas tree symbolizes hope. Amen. The ornaments and lights that twinkle, they symbolize hope. They symbolize the goodness of God. The gifts that he bestows upon us, they instill hope within us. Justification, peace, accessibility. That's hope. Amen. Hope that this world don't have. The Apostle Paul said, if I have hope in this world only, I'm of all men most miserable. Amen. But we have a hope that's greater than this world. Because some 2,100 years ago, at a place called Golgotha, a tree was set up and was adorned with the most expensive, most precious, most costly ornament that ever adorned a Christmas tree. God's only Son, that He might bestow upon us these gifts that bring hope to our life and help us to get beyond who we are and what we are and what we had become in this world to what we can be in Jesus. And hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Which hope we have and has been given to us by a God that cannot lie. Which hope we possess because of what happened on Mount Calvary. What hope we have because of the realization we can have in knowing that there was a time and a place where we accepted God's gift of salvation into our own hearts and our own lives and received Christ as our Savior. What hope we have that we know that irregardless of whether we go by the way of the grave or by way of the rapture, we have a hope of life eternal. It says all the way down in verse 21 in Romans chapter 5, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By Jesus Christ our Lord. The perfect Christmas tree is the one that satisfies all the desires. It's pleasing. It's acceptable. It satisfies the one who adorns it and who hangs it. It satisfied God. Because there was nothing else. And there was no way else that redemption for sinful man might be accomplished. It satisfies those who behold it and receive it for what it is. Because it instills within us a hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it will satisfy the judge as he sits at the great white throne judgment and has to say to those who have refused his gift, those who have refused his tree, those who have refused that he hung upon the tree, depart from me. I never knew you. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of the fire, because he will be justified in what he does, because he'd done everything that he could to allow you to see how much he loves you this Christmas season.